This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
When it is not okay for the boss to call you in willy-nilly. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The Attorney General of the state of New York is putting big retailers like The Gap and Target under scrutiny. Warning letters went out over the weekend. The question is, are they violating state law when they use a system known as on-call scheduling? For context, we turn to Thomas Cohan, a professor of industrial relations, work and employment at the MIT Sloan School of Management. Professor, good morning.
Good morning, David.
So these on-call systems allow an employer to do what? Like send a text message or you check in by phone and then you find out when you're working?
Well, there are various ways. Sometimes it's a phone call. Sometimes it's scheduled. But in cases where it's scheduled and you're working late at night and having to come in early in the morning, it causes all kinds of family coordination issues and fatigue issues. It's not only hard to manage one's life, it's also hard to be efficient and provide good quality service.
So some companies, you say, have figured this out?
Well, that's right. A small company is called Quick Trip, and Quick Trip has convenience stores and gas stations mostly in the Midwest and the South. But it has been very good at making it a policy that they will schedule in a both flexible way to meet family needs, but also in a consistent way. And I think it's the consistency that's really critical, because people do have to work out routines with babysitters, with spouses and partners, with grandparents, with whomever can help to take care of kids when one has an unusual or a work schedule that doesn't fit the rhythm of the family.
MIT business professor Thomas Cohan, thank you very much. The e-commerce site for the maker movement, Etsy, is set to sell stock to the public for the first time this week. Last year, the online retail platform generated revenues approaching $200 million, a jump of about 56% over the year before, according to SEC filings. But to raise the cash from this week's IPO, Etsy is setting its sights on smaller individual investors. Reporter Gigi Duban has more.
You need a lot of money, you go to the folks with the deepest pockets, right? Not if you're Etsy, a site that matches up sellers who make feather hairpins with the people who want to buy feather hairpins.
This is the marketplace for small companies, small brands, small businesses to find an audience and to grow.
That's Wendy Liebman, CEO of WSL Strategic Retail. She says as Etsy grows, the company wants to show it's not selling out. To do that, Etsy is reportedly focusing on small investors, including some of the sellers on its own site. Kirthi Kalyanam teaches marketing at Santa Clara University. He says that's a good way to avoid tensions down the road.
It becomes easier from a corporate governance point of view, because all the decisions you make are pretty well aligned.
Kalyanam says without that alignment, the company is more susceptible to pressure from big outside investors who couldn't care less about vintage bath towels if stock prices are in the toilet. I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
Lawmakers in Georgia this month decided to renew a tax credit for video game companies for three more years. One forecast puts the video game market overall in the U.S. at $93 billion this year. WABE's Tasneem Shama reports on the Atlanta area as a video game hotspot.
Asante Bradford promotes video game development for Georgia. 8 years ago, he says, there were only about six gaming companies in all of Metro Atlanta. Now, there are more than 70.
Every time we put together a list, it changes that quick. So
Bradford says that's because there are more gaming conventions being held in Atlanta, giving the city more exposure, and there's a lot of local talent. The Savannah College of Art and Design and Georgia Tech are ranked among the top schools for game design. Nikhil Deshpande teaches game development at SCAD in Atlanta. He says alumni of these schools are the ones who help create a strong network in the city.
Retaining talent has been really good, and that has also helped the overall, you know, kind of gaming landscape here.
So when it comes time to finding a job, it's not that hard, he says. Take Hi-Rez Studios, an online game developer in the Atlanta area. It recently announced it's adding 50 new jobs. This will help it push out a new mythology-themed video game, Smite, on a new platform, Xbox One, and in a new market, China. They're also building the state's first esports studio. It's a place where people can watch others play video games. Todd Harris is chief operating officer with Hi-Rez.
People play video games, but over the last 2 years, it's actually become quite popular for people to spectate video games.
Welcome, Smite fans, to the World Championship Grand Finals!
He says it helps that Georgia's popular film tax credit, one of the most generous in the country, extends to digital entertainment. And living in bigger markets like San Francisco and Los Angeles is becoming more difficult.
Georgia's low cost of living has been very effective in recruiting experienced game developers. And then you combine that with really, really strong entry-level talent out of our universities and technical colleges.
The average starting salary at his company is about $58,000, in line with the national average. In Atlanta, I'm Tasneem Shamma for Marketplace.
And competition in the smartphone business has turned some kind of corner. There is news that Sprint is trying out the hand delivery of new phones. It'll pilot in Kansas City, current customers only, but a nationwide expansion is envisioned soon. The concept is a text message shows up saying, hey, as of now, you're eligible for a new phone. If you hit yes, then some person shows up with the phone before you even think about drifting over to Verizon or T-Mobile or something. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.